sir. Well, that's it for me, Gary McBride. I hope you've enjoyed Opera Box, hearing from 10 opera lovers and the 10 works that first inspired that love. If you love opera, please join us every Monday evening from 7 to 8, right here on KGNU. Coming up next, my conversation with pianist Jan Leschetsky. This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Coming up next, a classic Monday.
Every day you hear our announcers say support comes from local businesses like, and then mention the names of local businesses and nonprofit organizations. These groups already know the value of the KGNU listening audience and have chosen to make community radio part of their marketing mix. If you'd like to learn what these folks already know, call Sarah at 303-449-4885 or visit kgnu.org for more information.
Support comes from Outworld Brewing, reinventing the brew pub experience through sci-fi fantasy themes, located in between Highway 287 and I-25 on Highway 119 in Longmont, offering dine-in, takeout, and delivery. More information at outworldbrewing.com.
Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. This evening I'll be speaking with the Canadian pianist Jan Leschetsky, who is part of this year's Colorado Music Festival's virtual festival, going on right now at coloradomusicfestival.org. Before we get started, though, let's listen to Leschetsky performing a pair of Chopin etudes.
Thank you.
That was my guest this evening, pianist Jan Leschetzky, performing two of Chopin's Etudes, Opus 10, Numbers 3 and 4. Originally, Leschetzky was slated to perform all five Beethoven piano concerti with the CMF Festival Orchestra here in Boulder, but instead he joins the Colorado Music Festival's music director Peter Ungen online to discuss all of Beethoven's piano cadenzas, a fascinating insight into how piano concertos are put on stage today. That free mini-concert is available now at coloradomusicfestival.org. To date, the CMF has published four of these interview concert programs and will continue to drop another every Thursday until the end of the CMF's season this month. Here now is the first part of my April 2020 conversation with pianist Jan Leschetzky. Canadian pianist Jan Leschetzky made his orchestral debut at the age of 9. At 13, he was invited to Warsaw to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 2. At 15, Leschetzky signed an exclusive recording contract with Deutsche Grammophon, and over the past 10 years has released 6 albums, including, just last year, all 5 of Beethoven's Piano Concerti with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. He's scheduled to join the Colorado Music Festival July 23, 24, and 26, to perform all 5 as part of Beethoven's 250th birth year celebration. Jan Leschetzky, welcome to KGNU.
Thank you very much for having me.
I understand your live Beethoven concerto recordings came about because scheduled pianist Murray Pariah had to drop out for health reasons. So you ended up not only performing all 5 concerti at the last minute, but you also conducted the orchestra from the piano. I can't imagine the amount of pressure that put on you. Can you tell me the story?
It's a great story, actually, and it's one of those things that in life you cannot plan and you cannot control, but brings you incredible joy and incredible memories. I was scheduled to, I had a full schedule, November, December 2018. I had plenty of concerts, but at the end of October, I got the call that Murray Pariah is feeling unwell and will cancel a tour. And which Beethoven concertos would I like to play? I was rather confused by that. What do you mean, which Beethoven concertos? Usually when a tour is canceled, you get a very specific request. Can you play, say, Schumann concerto in these dates with this orchestra on this tour? If you can't, then they go to the next person. Or they're looking for the soloist and they say, what would you like to play? Play whatever you want. We just need a soloist for this tour. Those are the two experiences that I've had so far in tour cancellations, but never this sort of, which is vaguely specific. So I looked online, power of the internet, and I saw that the tour was planned with all 5 Beethoven concertos. And I've played all 5 and I've played them in a cycle, and Beethoven Year was coming up and I already had some cycles planned with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. So it wasn't as if I'd never done it and it was a huge leap of faith and a complete unknown. Of course it was a huge jump, but not as enormous as one could perhaps be led to think. I looked at that schedule and I thought, well, this is amazing. It's planned so wonderfully that during the tour they get to play, you know, Beethoven 2 here and Beethoven 2 and 5, 1 and 3, 1 and 4. And it all leads to all 5 Beethoven concertos being played in Berlin at the Concerthaus over the course of 3 evenings. And I thought, well, that's such a fantastic project to do it. And I love the way it was organized. So I said, look, if you want to do it, then I would propose that we just keep the original schedule and I play all 5 concertos. And it was rather a shock to hear that, I think, for the presenters. But they agreed. And what ended up happening is, since Berlin is the home of Deutsche Grammophon and I have friendly producers and people I know, I thought that it might be a good idea just for posterity, without even any pressure, just to record it, just to see what it would be. And of course, knowing that Academy of St. Martin in the Fields is such a great ensemble and they have so much to offer, and knowing, of course, that the Beethoven year was upcoming and everything, the stars aligned, let's say. Everything worked out the way it was supposed to, and that's why we have this recording today.
I think you're being pretty modest, because you're not only performing the concerti, but you're conducting the orchestra as well. Had you ever done that before?
I've done it before, and I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest myself. I'm not going to go out on stage and start conducting symphonies tomorrow. It's a very big leap from playing as a soloist at the piano, focused on your art and the collaboration in a more chamber music sense with other musicians, then going out and completely just forming, using your hands and words to shape music. That's very different. And of course, it also has to be said that Academia St. Martin in the Fields is a small ensemble, relatively, and has plenty of experience playing without a conductor. It's not something that is completely new to them. It's not even the New York Philharmonic or an ensemble that, yes, plays without a conductor, but has this maestro presence all the time. They're very accustomed to this. So I had a very strong leader who, of course, helped me. And I think they all are accustomed to listening very closely to each other and to the soloists. So I'm again downplaying it a little bit because it's true. We were making music together, and I have a lot to be thankful for towards them as well for what they brought to this equation.
Yeah, the leader for your recordings was Tomo Keller, right?
Yes, that's
yeah.
Right.
So when you were in rehearsal, was it sort of a collaboration between the two of you, sort of how you would run the rehearsals to get this piece prepared or to get the pieces prepared? How did that work?
Well, at the beginning, of course, I let them figure their own things out because the first time we met was in London in mid-November. I was between concerts at the Elbphilharmonie in Hamburg. Literally, I had one concert. I think it was a Friday. Let's say it was a Friday. On a Friday, I had a concert. On Saturday, I flew to London for the day, did rehearsals, and I had two concerts on the Sunday, again in Hamburg. So it was, and I was playing, of course, completely different repertoire. It was not Beethoven concertos. So it was intense. Rehearsing all five Beethoven concertos between other things, absolutely insane. So for those rehearsals, most certainly it was very much focus about getting things together, making sure that everybody feels comfortable with each other. And then we, as I said, the tour was planned in such a way that we could rehearse it, so to speak, in concert before we got to Berlin and had to play it as a cycle. So naturally, just by the way things are in life, when you play it, when you experience it, it grows, it develops, and it shapes itself. And then by the time we had those evenings in Berlin that were recorded, we, I think, felt rather comfortable with each other. And I also had to make a rather concrete rehearsal plan because we had 1 hour sound check for everything in the concert, and then we had the concert and no touch-up sessions afterwards. So literally the way it worked, and of course for the last concert, that meant that you had that 1 hour and you had to think of what you had to be, what you wanted to record, what you wanted to have an extra take of, what was risky, and then you had the concert and nothing else. If something would have gone terribly wrong, that would have meant that the whole thing was not possible. So it was, in that sense, it was high pressure and very intense. And those days in Berlin, I had a great time, actually. It was December, there was the Christmas market, very famous Christmas market right outside of the Concerthaus. We'd rehearse, I'd practice. We'd do the sound check. I'd go have a sausage at the Christmas market. I'd come back, take a shower, play first concerto, take a shower, play the second concerto, and then go to sleep and be exhausted and rinse and repeat the next day. It was an intense week.
I can only imagine what you went through. I'm just wondering, you say you don't have aspirations to be a conductor, but do you have aspirations maybe to conduct from the keyboard again, maybe some Mozart concerti or other?
For sure. It's something that I've done. Actually, I've done it rather extensively with, for example, with Orpheus from New York. We did a very big tour with both Mendelssohn concertos where we didn't have a conductor. I mean, they never do. As I mentioned, in the summer this year, I'm scheduled to play all five concertos, I think four times the cycle, whole cycle, with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe in Europe, different festivals. Again, no conductor. It's something that I feel comfortable with, especially in these environments. Also, even with works such as Chopin Concerto, I'm able to, I think, communicate rather easily with musicians from the keyboard.
I've been speaking with pianist Jan Leschetzky, who is part of this summer's virtual Colorado Music Festival online. Go to coloradomusicfestival.org to hear him speak with CMF Music Director Peter Ungen about all of Beethoven's piano cadenzas. I'm Gary McBride, and this is Classic Monday on KGNU. Let's listen now to Jan Leschetzky conducting and performing the final movement of Beethoven's Emperor Concerto, Piano Concerto No. 5.
Thank you.
pianist Jan Leschetsky conducting the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields and performing the final movement from Piano Concerto No. 5 in E-flat major, The Emperor, by Ludwig van Beethoven. You're listening to A Classic Monday on KGNU. More of my conversation with Jan Leschetsky after this.
Support comes from the Boulder County 2020 Census Campaign. The census, which is required by the Constitution, is taking place this year. The census affects essential things like healthcare, education, and infrastructure. There is no question pertaining to citizenship. Your responses cannot be used against you or shared with other agencies. You can participate in the 2020 Census online at my2020census.gov or by phone at 844-468-2020. Let's work together to make sure everyone in Colorado is counted. Con apoyo de la campaña del censo de 2020 del condado de Boulder, este año nuestra nación realizará el censo requerido por la Constitución. El censo afecta a lo esencial, como la asistencia médica, la educación y la infraestructura. No hay una pregunta de ciudadanía, y sus respuestas no pueden ser utilizadas en su contra ni ser compartidas con otras agencias. Puede participar en el censo de 2020 en my2020census.gov o por teléfono al 844-468-2020. Trabajemos para asegurar que todos cuenten en Colorado.
I'm speaking this evening with Jan Leschetsky, who is part of the virtual Colorado Music Festival online at coloradomusicfestival.org. In this part, we'll talk about some non-musical subjects, including skiing, reading, and flying. Do you have your pilot's license?
No, I think I was talking about this with my dad recently. It's the fact that I realized when I was doing it, I like it most certainly, but the dedication of the time and to stay current, you have to continually fly, would be impossible in my life. So I'm happy I got my driver's license. I'm happy I travel around the world, and maybe when I retire one day, I'll go back and get that pilot's license.
Oh, you should totally do it now, because how cool would that be? Playing concerts all over the
I
world
know.
And flying yourself to them. Come on!
I don't think I could afford to fly myself around the world, so that would be a big problem.
You need a benefactor with a really nice jet,
right? That's right.
All right. Let's see. So I did see pictures of you skiing. Do you like to get out much and you know, outside? I mean, what's sort of the balance of inside outside?
I'm used to being at the piano and being inside. No, and when I'm in cities, to be honest, when I travel, I usually practice much less than when I'm at home. When I'm at home, I tend, especially in normal times, I tend to do all my work that I have to do. So new repertoire, bringing things back into shape, that's the time where I can actually work and study and learn. When I'm traveling, even though I've been to Berlin, let's say more than 24 times, I still have things I'd like to see and do. And just by the nature of things, you're busy. And those hours you have not in the rehearsal with orchestra, not at the concert, not in the interviews, you want to go out. So I walk a lot when I'm in cities. I go see things, I go to museums, I go to galleries. It's always very busy. I'm intense in that way. So when I'm home, on the other hand, when I'm in Calgary, which last year I don't think it would be more than 30 days total in the course of the year. I really don't believe if I added it together, it would be more. Then I'm mostly catching up on things and at the piano, at the computer, in the mail, and that's it.
Do you still read a lot? Do you like to read fiction or nonfiction?
Currently, I'm reading. My last two books have both been in Polish, and one was a collection of more of newspaper articles, but well-written ones, long research articles about Russia. And it was very interesting, all sorts of different aspects. And right now, I'm reading about Poland and luxury in the communist era, which is more of a fun, but also very interesting take, because of course I've grown up with my parents, both of them lived in Poland during that time, and they've told me the stories, but to read it and to get the factual basis behind it has been interesting. So most my two recent books have been nonfiction, but I'm also very big into fiction and any good well-written books.
Have you read Olga Tokarczuk?
I have not read Olga's book yet, but it's on my not my desk, my nightstand, sorry. See, that's the thing when I'm trying to translate them from Polish to English. On my nightstand, and it's one of the books I'd like to read. And I think I'd like to read it, of course, in Polish, just to see how it is.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because I recently read her Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, of course, English. I don't read Polish. How many languages do you speak?
I speak two languages completely fluently, enough to minutely, you know, say every word that comes to my mind. French is fluent, not something I speak every day. And then right now, actually using this time as well to learn German and brush up on my Russian, which is not very good. So I have, and Spanish I learned in school and I can speak. So it's, I have three very good languages and then some others that I can communicate pretty well in.
Is there anything else that you do for fun that you'd like to talk about?
Well, usually what I do for fun when I'm in normal circumstances, I travel. And I mean this because, of course, a musician's life takes you all around the world, but it doesn't take you everywhere and doesn't take you to many of the places that I like to go to. So in my spare time, I will go visit countries that I normally would not see. Even this year, before everything happened, I, for example, went to Saudi Arabia, I went to Fiji and New Caledonia, and was supposed to go to Kiribati, but then that closed. So I have, that's one of my big interests. And it takes, of course, a lot of my time that I don't have playing concerts then is dedicated to that.
Have you ever been to Boulder?
I've never been to Boulder. I've been to Denver, and I've been to Aspen and Vail, Aspen many times, so I know the area, but I don't know, I haven't been in between, sort of.
Actually, Calgary seems a lot like Denver, doesn't it?
It's, I mean, pretty,
it's
similar,
sort of up,
yeah,
next to the mountains and about the same population.
Quite familiar, like both cities that have the same sort of ambience, although you have the mountains much closer to you than we do. I mean, you can see them on a clear day from Calgary, but it's not every day. It's in the distance, so it's a little bit of a different ambience.
Do you ski in Banff or close by? Or
I used to, as a child, I would go downhill skiing regularly. It was a big part of my life. And actually, that's one of the reasons I liked coming to Aspen so much, because I'd play a concert in Snowmass at the chapel. And then we'd go skiing with my dad for a few days. And as much as the skiing here is great, the skiing in Snowmass is much better. And it's a little bit warmer too, which is nice, because here you really freeze when you're on the slopes. And now when the quarantine started, we were going backcountry with my dad. For the first 2 days, it was no problem. We didn't meet any people at all. And in fact, I don't think we'd meet any people now, but they closed the national parks. So we're not allowed to go backcountry skiing anymore. So it's a bit of a shame. But it's more for the towns that people would go to, you know, Lake Louise and Banff, and they'd congregate in the weekend because they had nothing else to do. So they closed it, and now we're just home. I don't usually practice that many hours a day, actually, and I'm not really a homebody because I love traveling. So to me, missing that part of my life has been quite a big change. I certainly miss it as well, though in a way I'm grateful to be home, because I don't think I would ever willingly sort of confine myself to these walls. And it means that you have a lot of time for things that normally, you know, I like to do, but I have other things that perhaps I like to do more. So you never get the chance to do.
That's pianist Jan Leszczycki, who is part of this year's Colorado Music Festival's virtual festival going on right now at coloradomusicfestival.org. His segment with CMF Music Director Peter Ungen dropped last Thursday and is available online until the end of this month. Let's listen now to Jan Leszczycki performing the introduction in Concert Allegro, Opus 134, by Robert Schumann. You're listening to A Classic Monday on KGNU. Antonio Apopano conducted Orchestra dell'Accademia Nazionale di Santa Cecilia. The pianist was my guest this evening, Jan Leschetsky, who is part of the virtual Colorado Music Festival online right now at coloradomusicfestival.org. You're listening to A Classic Monday on KGNU, the final part of my conversation with Jan Leschetsky after this.
Support comes from Boulder Weekly, an independently owned newspaper available at area newsstands, outdoor boxes, and online at boulderweekly.com.
So you've recorded Mendelssohn and Mozart and Schumann and Chopin and now Beethoven. I listened to one of your interviews where you said that sometimes you like to go further afield. How far afield do you feel like going right now, outside of that sort of classical core?
Right now, one of the things that I'm learning is Shostakovich's second piano concerto. I've played his first, so I'm very open, shall we say. And of course, Shostakovich is not completely further afield. We're not talking about 21st century music yet. But my biggest issue is just time. It's pure focusing my energies on things that I know I will be able to grow with during my lifetime. Because the things I know, even at this point, I'm 25, but I realize that when you learn something now, it'll be something that you can work with and live with for the rest of your life. And those big concertos, I think you want that wisdom, you want that experience. You don't want to leave, you know, Rachmaninoff 3 to learn when you're 45 or 50. That I don't think will be any fun. So that's mainly why. It's because there are so many works, incredible works, spectacular works for the piano, that we are spoiled for choice and we don't know where to focus our efforts.
So you're working on Shostakovich right now.
Shostakovich and Bach. So two ends of the spectrum right now.
Nice, nice. But your first love, Chopin?
One of my loves. I'll tell you one thing, is when I sit down at the piano and I start playing Chopin, from the very first reading of a piece, I have an idea of exactly how I want it to sound. It's very interesting. You have this almost complete vision, and of course it develops and it's not accurate, and the first time I play it, it's terrible, nobody wants to hear it, but you have, I feel already like I'm at home. But I don't necessarily have that same feeling with Bach. It's more of a deciphering of notes, and when I get to a certain point, then I start to have that feeling. So yes, there's a difference, but as far as performance, as far as playing it on stage, I love Chopin, most definitely, but I can't imagine only living with Chopin. I don't think that would be something I would dedicate myself to.
Well, you've certainly progressed very far in your field very quickly in your life. And I'm just wondering what your horizons are at this point, because you have a successful concert career. You do over 100 performances a year usually.
That's right.
And you've made a number of recordings. What is the next horizon for you? I mean, I asked you about repertoire, but do you have other aspirations, or is it a perfection of the things that you already do very well?
There's always something to learn, always something to do. I don't know if there's ever this... The wonderful thing about music is that I don't think you ever feel like you've attained it all. In the sense, I'm an ambitious person. I wouldn't be here today if I wasn't dedicated, if I wasn't hardworking. I don't dispute that. But I'm not ambitious in the sense of dreaming big and setting myself goals of playing on a certain stage or with a certain conductor. And in that sense, I've just been incredibly fortunate because my life has given me all these gifts. So in that sense, I've simply never had to dream because I've had these amazing experiences simply given to me from hard work, perhaps, but given to me nevertheless. And I feel very thankful for that. And I simply enjoy it. But I have goals, of course, and I have things I'd like to do, and I have things I'd like to play, and I think it's the career of a musician, the life of a musician, a performance itself is not something you can control entirely, and you can't really guide it with a firm hand and say this is exactly how it's going to go. So the unknown is what I think makes this life rather rewarding too, because you don't know exactly what will happen despite the current circumstances. Nevertheless, even without them, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You can't really control it, and you don't know what you'll feel like, how it'll be to play certain things. So I think really I have a very interesting and mixed life with many things that I'm doing beyond music as well, but the musical professional part is also fascinating.
I wanted to also ask you about a quote that I heard in one of your interviews, sort of like a common thread in the musicians that you admire. You said that some of the greatest musicians you've met are kind and they're well-rounded people. Does that continue to be sort of an aspiration for you?
I think so. And it's amazing because you find at the beginning, I guess, when you're when you don't have so much experience with musicians, with those you meet, you have an idea of who they are as people, what sort of passions they have, and what sort of interest and what sort of dedication they have to the art. And it's all over. It's actually not true. It's all over the board. You have a spectrum of people who are absolutely passionate and breathe and live and sleep music, and that's all they think about, all they read about, all they listen to, all they talk about. And then there's another spectrum which is very focused professionally. They love what they do and they have their own whole life. And then there's some which are just naturally talented and play incredibly, but they don't practice very much. They don't focus very much about music. It's just something that they like and they do quite well. And getting to know these people, I've learned to value them all, learned to value them for what they bring. And while in normal circumstances, I don't think a dinner with somebody who talks only about music would be the most riveting for me personally, it is something to be really inspired by, in a sense. They have so much knowledge and so much to share with you that if you just listen, then you can learn a lot. And on the other hand, if a musician gives an incredible concert, but off stage they're not interested in music, well, that doesn't matter either, because they have brought something incredible to the lives of all these people who were there at the concert, and then they get off stage and they don't have to live that and breathe that every day. So I think that's well-rounded has taken more of a broad meaning, because you can't really specify what's well-rounded. Well-rounded, I think, definitely I like people who are kind, and the only musicians that I've had bad experiences with, and those are I can name on one hand, which I'm not going to name, but I could name on one hand, was because they were troubled people. And then it's simply hard as a human being simply to be with them.
I'm also a pianist, but I'm nowhere near your league. I like to tell people that most of what I know about life, I learned from the piano. Because in my own personal journey, I've learned to interpret the issues that I encounter when I'm trying to learn a new piece of music. That informs how I view life. I mean, it requires a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, a lot of self-knowledge, understanding, you know, when you can push yourself and when you can't, learning to work with your skills. Of course, you possess so many skills that I will never have. But does that approximate kind of where you're going with that well-roundedness? Is it sort of a philosophical understanding of life?
Most definitely music. I think the most important thing is that music and your interpretation is a reflection of you as a person. And I always value honesty in somebody, and I also value that in interpretation. And it's funny, it's of course, it's just an impression, but I do get the impression sometimes that there's a musician who's being honest. And I might not agree with the choices interpretationally. I might not be completely in favor of all of them, but it speaks to you. Then that's something that really grasps your attention, takes you in, draws you in to that sphere, musical sphere, to that mind. And on the other hand, if you're not honest, if you're trying to put up a facade, somebody who you're not, I believe I can feel that too. And that goes for the whole stage presence and the whole how you act and how you behave. And that to me is a very important part too, because if music is not a reflection of what you want, what you feel, and how you do it, then why do it? It's supposed to be something very intimate.
Have you ever worked with Peter Unjin before?
Oh, I love Peter. Peter is one of those musicians who is certainly incredibly dedicated and passionate about music, and also has tons of other interests in life, and we'll happily speak about both at a dinner. So a perfect balance, and he's an incredible musician. Just on stage, he will sometimes bring these ideas that are... you know, when you see the best ideas, when you hear something that you think, why didn't I think of that myself? That's so simple and yet completely genius. And Peter Ongen's one of those musicians who I encounter practically every time I work with him. He has one of these genius ideas, and I always look forward to the encounters. And I know him very well, of course, from Toronto Symphony. We've been on some tours together in Europe and in Florida, and played a lot in Toronto. So I think we've become good friends.
Jan Leschetsky, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pianist Jan Leschetsky performs Beethoven piano cadenzas and discusses them with Peter Ongen on the most recent virtual concert from the Colorado Music Festival, which is available online at coloradomusicfestival.org. The CMF is releasing a brand new concert every Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and is making them available until the end of this month. I'm Gary McBride, and you're listening to A Classic Monday. This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Let's listen now to Jan Leschetsky perform a piece I know he's been playing in public, at least since age 13, Chopin's Second Piano Concerto. We'll hear him with Sinfonia Varsovia, conducted by Howard Shelley. Pianist Jan Leschetsky performed the Piano Concerto No. 2 in F minor, Opus 21, accompanied by Symphonia Varsovia, conducted by Howard Shelley. This is A Classic Monday on KGNU.
Are you aware of vroom gloom? Vroom gloom is a common side effect of the vehicle neglect. If you have a car, truck, or boat, just sitting alone without the drive to leave home, donate it to KGNU right away. Philanthropy is often the best therapy for vehicles suffering from vroom gloom because it feels so good and it's free. To get started, call 1-844-KGNU-CAR.
Here's Romance in F minor, Opus 11 by Antonín Dvořák. Violinist Itzhak Perlman with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, Seiji Ozawa conducting Romance in F Minor, Opus 11 by Antonin Dvorak. Now, a set of variations Richard Strauss composed as a sort of inside joke for family and friends, because it includes quotes from Wagner's Ring Cycle. Variations on a Bavarian folk song, Das Dirndl ist Harb auf mich. Enjoy. The Oxalis String Trio performed variations on a Bavarian folk song, Das Dirndl ist Harb auf mich, by Richard Strauss. Now to conclude a classic Monday on KGNU, Kol Nidre by Max Bruch.
Thank you.
Cellist Jan Volger with the Dresden Chapel Soloists, Helmut Brani conducting Kol Nidre by Max Bruch. Well, that's it for me, Gary McBride. I hope you've enjoyed another Classic Monday and will join us every Monday evening at 8 p.m. Coming up next, A Present Edge. This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.